Well, good morning. Really? Good morning. Oh, there we go. I was making sure everyone was here. I'm starting to wonder. Well, it's an honor to be with you all this morning and pray the Lord's blessing as we open His Word and look at His truth for us this morning. We have a small verse we're going to be looking at in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. You know, there's a place where we can go to find absolute truth. And God's word is faithful and true, His inerrant, infallible word, that we can build our lives for an eternity upon God's faithful word. And this is God's word for us this morning. Philippians chapter 1, looking at verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we think about these words from our Lord. Lord God, we do thank you for your word and how precious it is to us. You have not left us alone without an idea of what you think or what you wish for us, but you've given us your very word. And for that, we praise you. And thank you for. We ask, Lord, that you would help us this morning to understand and apply your word. Lord, that you would accomplish your purpose that you sent your word out to do, that it would not come back to you void, but Lord, that it would be like that double-edged sword cutting to our very hearts to see you, to convict of sin, and draw us closer to your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the early 1600s, there were a section of about 80 islands off the coast of Australia, northeast Australia, that was discovered by a Spanish explorer. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But back in the late 1700s, Captain Cook explored those islands. They named them the New Hebrides Islands. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but something like that, New Hebrides Islands. And it wasn't until the 1830s and 40s that missionaries were sent to these islands from London and from England to preach the gospel to these natives. The first two missionaries, one by the name of John Williams, landed on the shores there, and within minutes, he and his fellow missionary were killed almost immediately and eaten by cannibals. It's a rough introduction of the gospel to the New Hebrides. Nonetheless, they sent more missionaries and produced much fruit. One of those missionaries was John Patton. Not the John Patton from here, a missionary John Patton. And he and his wife Mary, went to the New Hebrides in the 1850s, early 50s, and preached the gospel there. It wasn't within a year that Mary and they had a newborn child that passed away that first year. And John Patton, with the loss being difficult and cannibals all around, he ended up sleeping on their grave for a while just to prevent them from coming and digging them up and eating them. Amazing how he dealt with life and death situations. He ended up remarrying and having a great ministry there in the New Hebrides. Now it's called Vanuatu. In the 1980s, it was renamed. But I wanted to give a quote from John Patton as he struggled with these words that we're struggling with this morning. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Here's what he had to say, a quote from John Patton. He says, they encircled us in a deadly ring. One kept urging the other to strike the first blow or fire the first shot. He says, my heart rose up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw him watching the scene. My peace came back to me like a wave from God. He said, I realized that I was immortal till my master's work with me was done. I was immortal until God's work for me was done. John Patton knew, just like the Apostle Paul, for him to live was Christ. He was consumed by it. That was all he had to live for, was Christ. And die, well, dying would be even better. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, the Philippian church, speaks much of joy. He is overwhelmed with joy for this church. They loved him, they supported him, and he loved them and supported them. And he was just filled with joy in his thoughts of them. And he prayed for them. He was just amazed at God's grace that had come to him as well as to them, and it filled him with joy in Christ. Even though he writes, he's in jail, he's in prison in Rome, his situation isn't that joyful, you wouldn't think. Nonetheless, he is filled with joy. Commentators call the letter, the Philippian book, the happiest book in the Bible. 16 times it speaks of joy and rejoice. Paul sitting in prison writing. And here we see the joy that he has of life in Christ. That's the theme of our text this morning. The joy of life in Christ. We're going to look at two aspects of that theme. First of all, what is life? And what is death? To make it even more personal, what is your life? And what is your death? Let's look a little closer. What is your life? He says in our verse, for me to live is Christ. To live is Christ. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Paul's one desire is to honor Christ, to exalt Christ. We see in the verses prior to our verse, in 19 and 20, he says, yes, I will continue to rejoice, as he was dealing with other preachers of the gospel, doing it for wrong reasons. He rejoices that Christ is preached, and he will continue to rejoice. He says, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. That's a direct quote from Job. Job 13:16. This will turn out for my deliverance. Paul knew Job's suffering. All the Jews knew Job's suffering. And here we see him quote Job. He knows God will save him. God will deliver him. He's looking forward to that. He goes on in verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and to die gain. To live is Christ. Paul knew, he knew, and had great joy that even in prison, no matter where he went, no matter where his life took him, Christ was with him. That gave him great joy, that gave him great hope, and ultimately it gave him life, life itself, breath of life. The only life he had was in Christ. Everything else was death to him. Meaningless. Loss. You know, it makes me think of when I was in the Navy. And the Lord took me everywhere. The Navy just sent us wherever they wanted, and we just went. But wherever I went, Christ was there. That was the greatest thing. Whether I was in a submarine in the bottom of the ocean, Christ was there. I went to the top of the world up in Alaska, Christ was there. It didn't matter where I went, in the jungles of the Philippines, with terrorists all around me, Christ was there. It didn't matter where they sent me. It was truly a joy for me to see how, no matter where you go in this world, Christ is there. And Paul knew that. You can't get away from him. You can't get away from him. He's with you. No matter what comes in this life, no matter what you might be suffering right now, no matter what difficulties you might have, Christ is with you. Paul knew that, and it gave him great joy. You know, when I think of life, I don't know if you remember back to high school, for those who have actually been in high school. I took a course in my sophomore year, geometry. Anybody remember geometry? Got a couple that actually remember geometry. It's kind of nice. But we had lines, right? We had to graph and we had lines. And I think of life kind of like that, right? You have a point where you're born, right? It's pretty simple. Then you have a line. I guess it's a lifeline, right? That's your line of your life. Then you have a point back here at the end that's you die. Pretty simple. Not too difficult to understand, I don't think. But then for those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's another line. Superimposed upon this other line, a dot where you accept Christ as your Savior, where you believe and trust in Him for your life. And that line goes and there's an arrow at the end of it. And for those who remember geometry, that means it goes into infinity, right? It's eternal life. Paul knew that. He knew life eternal. It doesn't happen when you die. That's not when you have eternal life. It happens when you believe, when you trust in Christ, that He died for your sins on the cross, that He bled and took the curse for you. It wasn't His curse. He didn't deserve to die for His sins. He had no sin, did He? He was perfect. He died for your sins if you believe and trust in Him. That's the good news. Paul knew that. That gave him joy. That gave him life. He knew who Christ was, and that was his life. Paul knew what Christ meant for himself, but Paul also knew what Christ meant for the whole world. As he was sent to the Gentiles to preach the good news, Christ was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophets. He was the one who would come who would crush the serpent's head. Christ. He was the one that was going to give life and crush that serpent's head. He was the one who would make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands of the seashore. Paul knew Christ was the one who would fulfill that promise. He was the one who would come who would make David's kingdom an everlasting kingdom. Paul knew that this was the one. Christ was it. There's nobody else that can save. Paul knew that. He knew from Isaiah that through this one, through Christ and his stripes, you are healed. He was healed. For those who believe in Christ, they are healed. Paul knew that. That gave him joy. That gave him hope. That gave him life. All the covenant promises were realized, fulfilled in him. Paul's life ultimately just fades away. He is stripped of kind of everything, and the only thing that is left is Christ. As he finds himself in prison in Rome, there's only Christ left. That's all he has, and that gives him great joy because that's all he needs. That's his life anyway. There's nothing else that's worthwhile. There's nothing else to give life in this world. He knew that Christ was the only one who could save him, give him deliverance, to give him salvation. Salvation from jail, maybe. Salvation from his sin, yes. Salvation ultimately from death itself, he looked forward to. And that comforted him. I wanted to read just that first question and answer, if I can find it here, from Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer one. Paul knew this, right? What was his comfort in life and death? What's your comfort, your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust many of you, it goes on. I'm not going to read the rest of it. You can read it on your own. But he knew that Christ alone was the answer for him, for his life, for his future. Christ was his deliverance and his salvation. One commentary I read summed it up like this, and I don't think I could say it any better. Paul's life and those who believe in Christ, their life is summed up with Christ himself. He is their life. He goes on to say, I am filled with Christ. I am occupied with Christ. I trust Christ. I love Christ. I hope in Christ. I obey Christ. I preach Christ. I follow Christ. I fellowship with Christ. Christ is the center and circumference of my life. It's all Christ. Christ and Christ alone is my inspiration, my direction, my meaning, my purpose. I'm consumed and dominated by Christ. Paul knew who Jesus was, who Christ was. It was his whole life. There was nothing else. Nothing else in life that was worthwhile, that would last. Christ is life, even unto death. And ultimately, he saw his death being something that could glorify Christ. That even if I die, it's for his glory. What greater thing to die for than the glory of Christ? Well, the second point is, what is death? That's a little bit of what is life. Now, what is death? Or personalized, what is your death? He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain? I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound quite right, right? It seems that death is to be avoided at all costs, is it not? This is what we have hospitals for, doctors and nurses, medication, vaccines, machines, just to keep us alive. But Paul here says, no, death is gain. Death is something I look forward to. He goes on to say later, I wish I was dead to be with my Lord. It would be better to be dead. But for Paul, death is a way that he is closer to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He draws near to him and will see him face to face. His faith will be realized in his death to see his Savior, which is the only thing that gives him life anyway. Death cannot break the bond and union that he has with Christ. It's powerless. You know, I see this verse, for me to live is Christ, I think of all the different things that people have that they live for. For me to live is blank. Fill in the blank. What makes you tick? What do you live for? Maybe you live for your career. For me to live is my career, and to die is loss. Right? To die is loss. If you lose your career when you die, you don't continue it. For me to live is money, and to die is loss. You lose that money. Somebody else is going to get that money. You don't get to take it with you. For me to live is entertainment, pleasure, possessions, stuff. And to die is loss. You could fill that blank in with anything you want. The only thing that makes to live is to die is gain is Christ. It's the only thing that blank can have in it for dying to be gain. Everything else is a loss. Paul knew this. Later in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, he talks about it a little bit more. Let me read a couple verses from Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God that is by faith. That's good news. He knew that everything was a loss. Everything was rubbish. You can't take any of it with you. Paul knew that. He knew that everything everyone was striving for except for Christ was empty and void. Recently, this has definitely come to have new meaning for me and my family and this recent loss of my dad. There's nothing in this world that you can really take with you. We're continuing to clean up the house that he lived in. A lot of stuff. You can't take any of it with you. I see it every day. The only thing you can take with you is Christ. My dad knew that. His time here was finished that God had for him. God's work for him was done. Soon, your work and my work will be done here. But God has us here right now for a reason, to live for him, to live for Christ. Because if we believe in him, to die is indeed gain. Christ's life, his humble life, as you see in chapter 2, he made himself nothing, became a servant. He died, cursed, terrible death on the cross, rose again for your greatest gain. His life, perfect life, and his death was your greatest gain. For those who believe Christ, his life, his death, give you life eternal. That should give you joy this morning. It should give me joy this morning. should give all of us the hope of eternal life as we're found in Christ. That's our hope. That's our life. I'd like to end with a quote from John Patton again, dealing a little bit more with life and death, where he's dealing with some people who were deterring him from going into the mission field. And he says this: "Amongst many who sought to deter me, there was one old Christian gentleman whose crowning argument always was, 'The cannibals? You will be eaten by cannibals.' At last I replied, 'Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own body will soon be laid into the grave, and there will be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, it will make no difference to me whether I'm eaten by cannibals or by worms. In that great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours and in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." Indeed, Paul knew life in Christ was truly all there was. I hope you know that this morning and every day, that God gives you life and breath, that you might live for Christ and see death is even gain to be with your Savior. And may God show you that Christ will truly be your joy in life, your hope, and truly your breath in life itself as he gives it to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word and how precious it is. We thank you that you speak to our very hearts. Help us, Lord, to live indeed for you, that we might see our lives from your point of view, that to live is indeed to serve you, to glorify you, your word, that Christ would be exalted and honored through each of our lives as we trust in him, and that we might look forward to that day that we will be with you forever. Help us as we struggle with many distractions, that we might continue to focus on you and you alone as our life here on this earth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.